Hello, my name's Tom, and you're listening to our podcast about how our dads are dead.
Yeah, strong start.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Rich, and my dad is also dead, and I'm also a part of this podcast. We're recording this now, in the present, 16th of May, but most of these conversations were recorded a long time ago.
Yeah. Back when, you know, I wasn't 100% sure if they ever would be released to the public, but it was more as a sort of keeping my brain functional and okay.
Yeah, just to give an idea of how long ago, since then, I've moved house and Tom's left the country.
And got married. I know that's low down your list.
Yeah.
But for me, it was quite a big one. You did do the best man speech at my wedding, so it's a bit disappointing you didn't remember it, but that's okay. I mean, what a...
It just wasn't a headline for me. So this is episode one.
Mm.
The title of episode one is Aftermath. So this episode, we're talking about the immediate aftermath of losing, in our case, your dad. But it's fairly similar, I believe, across death in general.
Yeah, that feeling when you've lost somebody and what the heck are you meant to do? When you get the phone call and you're told this person has died, how you react to that, and then how you react in the months and, you know, I guess at this point, years following it.
Yeah. To give you a bit of context about who we are, very quickly, my name's Rich, I'm a comedian, and my dad died in 2014 of meningitis.
Yeah, I mean, my dad died in November 2019 of cancer, the old classic.
The Big C.
The Big C, as that famous podcast calls it. Yeah, the Big C. Not pleasant. But the thing about it was my dad died slowly, whereas Rich's dad...
incredibly fast.
Quick and easy.
Sort of remarkably fast.
Minutes.
Sort of impressively fast in many ways.
Yeah. So I believe in this podcast we actually get into that a little bit as much as anything else.
Yeah. But that's enough intro and enough faffing around. Here is the episode and we'll be back at the end. How did you find out that your dad was dying/dead?
Yeah, I mean, if you could just quickly summarise the most traumatic thing of your life. Thanks.
Just briefly. Keep it snappy.
Can you just snap it quick through. Found out he had cancer because he told me over the phone. Found out he was dead because I got a text. And that's about
right.
It.
Where would we be without modern technology?
Well, I think the thing that's most relevant to something what everyone will have experienced, or the majority of people have experienced, is that phone call to be like, he's about to die. Because I got that one, and I think a lot of people would have got that one. I think, if anything, that's the most frightening one. The one which is like, you need to get here as quickly as possible because he is going to die soon.
Yeah.
And that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's not a nice phone call to get. And also because you have to take action immediately.
Rich, and that's I don't know if you've ever got a train in this country, but they're not known for their haste.
No. And it's a hard thing to explain to a ticket conductor, isn't it? Like, is there any way you can speak to the driver and just get him to put his foot down? Put his foot down, put more coal on? I don't know how it works.
Do we really need to stop at Brockenhurst? I tell you what, take that out. Forget that. Ringwood, come on.
Yeah.
Who's stopping at Ringwood? Let's be real.
You
don't need that. Brockenhurst is out. Just get there as quickly as we can and then, yeah?
I've got an image now of you stood at the front of the carriage going, is anyone stopping at Brockenhurst? If you're stopping at Brockenhurst, put your hand up and we'll stop. But just let me remind you, my dad's dying, so if we could step on it a little bit.
I don't know what your business is in Brockenhurst is, but is it as important as mine in Bournemouth? Let's just think about that for a second.
And how did you feel on that journey? Was it a... because it's not like a... it's not a sadness, is it? It's like a panic at that point, presumably.
Yeah. I mean, we were going down with my sister and her boyfriend and my girlfriend at the time. And we were really in a bit of a sort of trying to not talk about how much of a weird situation we were in, you know? It's a lot of just pretending everything was normal kind of thing. Because, you know, there's nothing you can do. you're on a train and you're at the behest of fate as to whether you're going to see your dad for your last time. And that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to, that kind of small talk. I had a similar, well, sort of similar journey. My dad was already dead when I got the phone call, but I was in my flat in Doncaster and he died back where we lived in the Midlands. And so I got a phone call, was told, and my mum's, well, one of my dad's friends had come to pick me up. He'd found out, he'd driven up earlier that afternoon, and then he picked me up and drove me back. And at the start, that's an easy interaction because you go, he says, I'm so sorry. You go, oh, I know what happened. There's a bit of chat. It's a 3.5 hour drive. Mm. And at some point you do have to go, how have you been? Did you see the football yesterday? You have to just have normal conversations. There were definitely points where he sort of had to go, you know, but dead dad aside, how are you? How's work? And you're in shock, and nobody has ever told you how to act in that scenario. Same way as you get in a train with your sister and your sister's boyfriend, you either have to sit in silence or you have to talk about something, and you can't just be going, do you think he's dead yet? What about now? Do you think he's dead now?
Mm.
Do you think we have to stop at Brockenhurst, or can I get someone to change the timetable now?
Is this the first Hitchhiker's Guide for When Your Dad's Died?
Mm.
How Maybe. Do you react in this situation?
Yeah, I think whatever helps. I also think it's one of the few times that you can completely ignore any kind of social etiquette. And so, like, I was worried about making conversation, because that's what you do. You don't want to sit in silence. If you're with someone, you sort of feel like you have to talk to them. This is one of the few times in your life where you don't have to talk if you don't want to talk. And if you want to scream and cry, nobody is going to go, you're making a bit of a scene. You're making Uncle David quite uncomfortable. So could you stop? Because there's quite a lot of snot coming out of your nose right now. If snot comes out your nose. If you shit yourself, you can get away with it. I'm not saying if you find out your dad dies, use it as an excuse to shit yourself. But if it's something you've always wanted to do, I don't think anyone's going to pull you up on that. I think you've got a 48-hour grace period where you can do pretty much whatever you want. But that, I mean, that wouldn't be my Hitchhiker's Guide. I wouldn't say.
No.
Just the first thing you want to do is shit yourself straight off the bat. Get that out of the way.
Thing is, but if you do open with that, though, there's a lot of different ways it can go from there.
Yeah. I think it changes the narrative quite drastically. And maybe directs attention in the wrong place. But
it definitely changes how people perceive that you're doing with the whole thing.
Yes.
It?
Yeah. But it was something I was going to mention later on. But weirdly, this does tie into sort of the aftermath. One of the things that I found, and that I think my immediate family all found in the days afterwards, was that it really plays havoc with your pooing schedule. I don't know if this is something, it's not something I've ever asked anyone else before, but did you have weird poos for a couple of days after, or?
I think I'm still having weird poos.
Oh, that might be a larger concern then. I think you need a doctor. It's not a podcast.
Well, obviously, like everyone, I immediately shat myself upon reading the text message. After which point, there's something to be said for it. I guess so. I guess my rhythm changed. I don't know if it's something anyone needs to know about, but since you asked...
I only asked because I know that it was quite a prominent part of... I remember saying to my mum a few days afterwards, just being like, are you just constantly on the loo? And she was like, yeah. It's just like flowing out of me at the minute. And I saw there was a lady that I follow on Twitter who quite recently, I think, lost her husband. And this is what brought it to mind. She tweeted about it and she said that it's quite a good metaphor for grief, because in the days and weeks afterwards, sometimes it will be all at once, and sometimes it'll be nothing at all. And that's, in a way, a pretty good metaphor for grief. Some days, you're going to do 18 poos. Other days, you're going to feel quite normal. Yeah. But maybe it was just me, my mum, and this woman on Twitter. And maybe we all need to go and get ourselves checked.
What I think is, what I bet is this. There are people listening to this right now who would be going, I'm so glad that somebody has finally broken this taboo. It's okay if you do loads of poos when your dad dies.
I think there's a lot of people who have also turned this podcast off now.
But one thing I did want to get into was the time that you get this call, because it obviously is going to have an impact on your memory if it's around a certain event. And mine was sort of near my birthday, whereas yours was very close to a festive time of year.
It was. It was. I was trying to work out then. It was probably the seventh most festive day of the year. Because there's Christmas Day, Boxing Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Good Friday. Yep.
That's four. Good Friday ahead of Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah, and Easter Sunday, I guess.
You've gone in with Good Friday. What do you mean, I guessed? You get Easter eggs on Easter Sunday. Forget the Dead Dad podcast. We didn't do a podcast about why you think Good Friday is more festive than the day you get Easter eggs.
Here's my pitch. One, Friday's better than Sunday. And Good Friday's a bank holiday.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a more festive day, right? If you get a day off work, it's a better day.
Easter Monday is also a bank holiday.
Coming to Easter Monday, Tom, if you gave
Easter
me a second.
Easter Monday is also a bank holiday.
Easter Monday was next on my list, thank you.
No, but Easter Sunday, you've got a day off after, guaranteed. I suppose. It's
yeah, and Good Friday,
Friday
you've got 3 days off, guaranteed. But either way, okay, so we've got the three Easter days, the three Christmas days, New Year's Eve, and then I reckon the day before Christmas Eve is next in the list. So it's maybe the eighth most festive day of the year. Let's chuck a birthday in there.
I think you need a birthday. I think you need Halloween.
Really? Let's say top 10.
Top 10.
It's in the top 10 most festive days of the year. 23rd of December. And that was the day that he died. Having not had any illness, he just went to bed ill on the 22nd, probably maybe the 12th most festive day of the year. Woke up feeling unwell on the 23rd, stayed in bed, midday, dead. That was that. And it was, it was a lot more complicated and frankly traumatic for the people, my mum and my brother, who were with him at the time. Yeah. For me, I remember being at work that day. It was near Christmas. We didn't have that much to do. We played a trivia quiz in the afternoon. I went home, and then I got a phone call to say he's gone, and he's been gone for 6 hours. He was 55, I think. So I wasn't expecting it for at least 20 years or so. So it was a real shock. And then we had Christmas, which was very odd. But that does bring us into another issue that you deal with, I guess, you deal with immediately, but you deal with also, in a way, for the rest of your life, which is the goodbye. Because, again, I didn't get to say goodbye. And you did, I guess?
I certainly had the opportunity to. But whether I availed myself of it is different. Yeah, you obviously had no goodbye on the table. Whereas my dad had been very clear about this. He wanted everyone to act as though everything was normal. And, when he was in the final hours, he was in a hospital bed in his living room. There was a Macmillan nurse there. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Macmillan legends. And he was conscious. I mean, but he was there with his eyes mostly closed and his mouth open. But he would jump up and open his eyes suddenly and... Yeah. React to something and say something, and then he'd go back like he was just sort of doing his best to interact with people. It really would feel like the ultimate kick in the dick if that state I was like, anyway, I just want you to know how traumatic this is for me. Before you die, feel bad about it. Obviously, everyone's attitude is different, but my dad was so clear about wanting everyone to behave as though it wasn't the last time. We, for example, we went to the zoo every year on Easter, Good Friday, in fact, the fifth most festive day of the year.
Yeah, fifth or sixth.
Fifth or sixth. We'd go on Good Friday, and we did go to Marble Zoo for the last time, but we didn't say it's the last time. That was a running theme, and so I was planning to come down a couple of days later. So I said, all right, Dad, I'm coming down on Sunday. See you then.
Knowing that you wouldn't see him on Sunday.
Being fairly confident, although, as noted...
Yeah, yeah.
Could have done.
But it's a nicer... I think that's nicer than, as you say, doing a big goodbye that he doesn't want and that you don't necessarily know... Yeah. What to say, and the pressure to get it right as well, to say the right things, and then go, well, that's those are the last words I'll ever say to my dad. It's much nicer to go, I'll see you on Sunday.
Do you know what? This is something I've never asked you before, and we talk about this moment in our lives because it's the most dramatic a lot. What were the last things you ever said to your dad, and vice versa?
Annoyingly, I don't remember in any great detail. I know when it was. It was, so he died on the 23rd. And the last time we spoke would have been, that was a Tuesday, and we spoke on the Saturday morning, I think. And we were both hungover. And I remember the main thing I remember from the conversation, well, the two main things I remember, one always makes me laugh, even now, which was, he was saying, he said he'd woken up so hungover and so thirsty that he said, I wish that you could just put your finger into a pint of water and suck it all into your body. And this image of him lying in bed, like not wanting to move at all, but just being able to poke like a finger into a pint and then suck the whole thing into his body.
If I may, I think, sort of a...
Exactly. I think he probably made the noise. So I think about that every single time I'm hungover now, which is a nice, it's a nice thing to have. You wake up feeling terrible and then you remember, oh yeah, do you remember when Dad said that thing? The other thing that I know that I do regret a lot, and is one of the things that I've changed since then, is I was never very good at saying I love you. And I remember, I would always say it to my mum on the phone, but I didn't say it to my dad or to my brothers, which I now do. But I remember, and it sounds like one of those things that's like, yeah, like it, that's how it would happen in a film or if you were writing a book. But I remember going to say, I love you, and then sort of chickening out and just saying bye. And that turned out to be the last time I ever spoke to them, as I remember it, I think. Which is, I think, something that I now don't give myself too hard a time about, but I did for a long time.
Well, it's your friend and mine. It's the dead parent guilt, Rich.
Dead parent guilt. Oh, one of the spectres that has followed us both around for a long time.
The things which, in the moment, as in real life, are completely normal things that everyone does. They're so normal. But on rewind, it's... Oh, why didn't I just do this other thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Dead parent guilt.
I've sometimes spoken to people who have either been in that situation of having lost someone, and they'll sort of say what I've said there of like, I've learned now that I always say I love you, whatever. Or you get people who say, remember to, you know, take that lesson with you and remember that you could lose anyone at any time. And you see people often say it, they're like, they've lost someone. They go, just remember to, you know, hug the people that you love while you've got them and tell them that you love them. It's like, yeah, I do agree with that. But also, you can't spend your whole life having every conversation with the full weight of the knowledge that it could be the last conversation you ever have. Because how intense a relationship with that person are you going to have? If every time I spoke to my mum, I said goodbye to her as if I'd never see her again, she, I think, would think there was something deeply wrong with me. Did your like family honour his wish to not say goodbye, or did they take a different route?
I think my brother might still be in denial about his death, so I don't think he's really in a position to.
Still invites him to family Christmas and stuff.
He put googly eyes on the urn, and I just think, it's out of order, personally.
I tell you what, Dad stinks, doesn't he?
what do you think ashes smell like? It's an urn, it's not a cadaver.
I know, this was like in my head, that was a Weekend at Bernie's type scenario. Where your brother is still dragging your dad's now.
Where I'm operating him to help my brother deal with this.
Just popped a pair of sunglasses on him. Yeah, he's fine. Because the other thing is, with a goodbye, you've got to time it right. Because if you went and you said your big goodbye, and then you left the room and you're like, I've said everything I need to, and then a day later they're like, well, he's rallying round. You'd be like, oh, well, like I've sort of ended my relationship with him. So,
yeah.
Your dad's fine, but you just can't talk to him anymore because you said goodbye.
It's a bit like when you exit a Tesco with someone you sort of know and you go, oh, see you later. But then they go the same way as you. It's that sort of situation.
Yeah.
There's one thing you didn't mention, which I was wondering if you would. But I was just wondering how the phone call went for you when you got the news.
Well, it was, it was different. I wasn't expecting it in any way. But my mum and my family had known for a long time. And so my mum had rung her friend who lived near me in Doncaster and had told her what happened and said, could you go round to be there when he gets the news? Cause I don't want him to be on his own. And what my mum didn't know was that at that time I really fancied that friend's daughter. And so I was in a great mood because I got a text from this girl that I fancied saying, oh, I'm popping round after work. So I got home, her and her mum came round, and I thought, well, that's odd. But okay. Chatting away, and they were really quiet. And then weirdly, her mum said, have you got your phone? And I said, no, it's in the other room. And she went, do you want to go and get your phone? And I went and got my phone and saw that I had like 7 missed calls from my mum. At which point I still didn't really know what was happening. And then I rang my mum and she said, there's a reason that those who are with you. And then she said, are you sitting down? And I said, no. And so I knew that something bad had happened. And for some reason in my head, I thought that the cat had died. Because that's the most likely scenario. You'd go cat,
we'll send family friends round to help him
What I was worried about was that I was like, have you sent a girl that I fancied to come and comfort me because the cat's died? And now, obviously, I wish that had been the case. But no, and then she said, her exact words were, Daddy died today. And obviously, I was 24. I didn't call him Daddy anymore. Oh. And in fact, at that point, as it has in popular culture, Daddy had largely come to mean something very different.
Yeah.
And I said, what? And she said, your dad died today. We think he had a heart attack.
I guess the thing that comes to me the most from when you say that is this word, daddy, which I sort of try not to laugh when you say it because it is such a weird thing to have said to you when you're over the age of 7.
But it always struck me as odd and it's always stuck in my head. Daddy died today. It's a strange phone call to get and I always think it must have been such a strange phone call to make. Must have been very hard for my mum amongst everything else that was going on that day, everything that she was going through, to have told So my younger brother was there when it happened. She had to ring my older brother. But then all that happened. And for the next 6 hours, she was waiting to ring me, knowing that I was just fine. I was at work. I was planning to come home the next day. And she knew she had to make that call. It must have been awful.
So basically, at some point, she had to make the call, which she knew was going to sort of ruin your life.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. Pretty much. Or the way I thought of it even then at the time was like, it ended a part of my life.
Started a new one.
There was that feeling that nothing will ever be good again, but nothing will ever be quite as good as it was going to be. Which is a depressing way to look at it, but it is also true, I think. I think if everything that happened in my life, and I'm a happy man and a very lucky person and have lots of great things in my life, but they would all have been a little bit better if my dad was alive.
This is something which really sticks with me, because after my dad died, he died, amongst other things, just before my birthday, but also whilst I was working on the 2019 general election. I'm a journalist, and I was working for the BBC covering the election, getting in touch with members of the public and getting their views across. And I was intensely busy. Like, I was arranging a lot of things for the news output across the BBC at that time. My boss said to me, hey, because you're in on this 6 a.m. shift, do you want to go in like 5 live, want to talk to somebody? And I did it, and it was this amazing thing. 7 a.m, I'm on Radio 5 Live on election day, like when millions of people are listening. What a huge moment in my life. And you better believe that we were only a few minutes removed from it when I thought, fuck me, my dad would have been proud of this. I want to tell him about it, and I can't.
Yeah.
That was shit.
It's brutal, isn't it? And it's not just I can't tell him, it's I will never be able to tell him. He will never, ever know. Not just this, but anything else. We talked earlier about receiving the phone call. The other side of the coin is making the phone call, and it's announcing the death to other people, which is where social media sort of helps and in a way hinders. I don't know, how did you tell people?
To be completely honest with you, it was a little bit of a relief, because I think I had quite a unique experience of this, because as noted, my dad wanted everything to be as if it was normal. And part of that was what he didn't want was to have to spend the last however long he had left in his life fending off phone calls and messages and visits from people he barely cared about. When he did die, I finally got to express it on social media, and so to my friends who I knew well, but not that well, this was the first they knew about it and finally got why I'd been a bit morose for a couple of years.
Yeah, well, you're not one of the cheeriest of chaps.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a relief for me to finally be able to put it on social media, to be honest with you. What about you?
Well, I waited a couple of days because I didn't really know what to say or how to say it, and I didn't really want to.
Yeah.
But then I put it up on Facebook, and as we've mentioned, my dad died on a fairly festive day, and you then sort of lose track of time. I ended up posting it sort of mid-afternoon on arguably the most festive day of the year. So on Christmas Day, I posted a Facebook status, because I thought, let's just kill all of the birds with one stone, let everyone know. And it was a very successful status.
Let's hear it.
29 likes, 72 comments. Pretty good.
Oh, that's a big comments. Wait, you got ratioed?
Yeah, I'd hope so. 29 likes, including my mum. So at some point on Christmas Day...
It'd be weird if it's including your dad.
My dad joined Facebook after his death to really get on board with one of my statuses. But yeah, so what are we talking on yours? What kind of numbers?
33
likes.
33 likes.
Ooh, comments?
Don't worry about it.
Go on, how many?
It's almost the flip reversal of yours. It's 37.
37, wow.
But I have done the breakdown of likes for you.
Go on.
We've got 20 crying emojis, so...
Of course, that's a crying emoji.
We've got 20 crying emojis.
See, that's the difference, because in my day, we only had likes. So you could just give it a little thumbs up. If you knew me well enough...
You never had the crying emoji.
You knew me well enough to want me to know that you had seen the news, but not enough to like say, I'm sorry. So you could just give it a little like.
We've got 10 hearts.
Right, 10 people either
love it.
Caring or
they
over
love
the moon.
The news.
Yeah.
And we've got 3 thumbs ups.
Such a passive response, isn't it?
I'm going to be honest with you. There's somebody who's left a comment here, and I don't know who they are.
Yeah, that's the thing. It does happen, doesn't it?
I don't want to say what the comment says, though it's similar to the sort of so sorry business, because I don't want to, you know. But I had a quick look at their Facebook. I genuinely don't know who this is. Mate, I really don't. I don't know. This is so weird. But that is it. That's it. You're going to get condolences from people you don't know.
Mm.
And that's strange.
Also, another personal favourite was one of those people, someone that I hadn't spoken to in a long time, from whom I just got nothing else, just gutting news, sad face. Oh,
that is gutting objectively news. Funny. Gutting.
Sounded like we'd lost a football. Oh, that's gutting.
That's gutting.
Oh,
absolutely,
mate,
gutting.
Gutted. My dad's dead. I'm gutted.
We'll get him in a few weeks, though. We'll get him on the return fixture.
Imagine that response. How are you feeling? I'm gutted.
Gutted.
I'm gutted.
Oh boy. I'm looking at. There's a lot of messages. I mean, there's so much to sort of touch on. It's absolutely ridiculous. I've got one here from somebody, which is a message. Hey, just so you know, if you need anything, you can give me a call anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have your phone number because we're not friends. We haven't spoken in over 12 years because we went to school together and then we stopped talking. How would I give you a call? You mean well. And it's not your fault for meaning well. And it's lovely.
Yeah.
But it's wrong. Okay? What would you do if I called you? How would you cope with that? You'd be like, yeah, I did say it. If I was like, oh, can I come round and stay the night and really stroke blib? That would be weird, wouldn't it?
It would be... So strange. And I absolutely think if you're listening to this and you're going through that situation and so you get that kind of message, call their bluff, ring them immediately in tears and just say, right, mate, I need you right now. I know that we sat together for one term in maths in year 9 and then your family moved away and I'm not sure what your surname is, but you said you were there if I needed anything, and frankly, I need a friend. Where do you live now? Dunfermline. I'm driving there as we speak. I'm on the motorway.
Text me your address. Text me your address now.
I'm going to get on the M5 and then you just let me know what junction to get off and I'll just keep driving until I'm there. I need to be with you. I think that's... You should absolutely call that bluff. I had a few of those messages that were exactly that. And it's a nice thing and it's people trying to do good. But I also think it's fair to say that's not helpful at that point. And people don't know that. And I've probably sent that message when I was younger. But if someone that you know but would never speak to is going through grief, unless you can actually deliver, don't offer. Don't send a message. Just know that they're having a shit time. Think about it for a bit. And then move on with your life.
Absolutely right. In terms of a hitchhiker's guide for when your friend's dad's died, offering them a hand, if you're genuinely willing to give it, great. Offering them a hand if you don't know them very well, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, don't... One of the things that I hated, and this is a difficult thing because this is what I would have done, what everyone would do, but if this is the guide for when your friend's dad's died, don't pussyfoot around. It's quite frustrating the amount of times that you hear some vague allusion to, oh, I heard the news. Just say, I'm so sorry that your dad died. So sorry that your brother died. Whatever it is. The worst kind of messages are the ones that are like, oh, I heard about his passing. It's like, what do you mean his passing?
Is this a reference to your toilet time?
Exactly. Yeah. They've got in touch and heard, I've heard that he passed and that you also passed immediately afterwards.
I'm so sorry for both things. They both sound
I'm so sorry for both tragic passings.
Tragic! Tragic passing. My dad died a few days before my 30th birthday. So he died in my 20s, just. He got in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was just a few days before, which meant that I received subsequently, after announcing the news to the world, I received several birthday messages, which, as you just said, sort of alluded to it. For example, this one, have a lovely day if you can. Which...
yeah, if you can. It's not even an expression of caring. It's just, if you can. No pressure. Just, you know, have a good one if you can. If you can't, tough luck.
That message might as well say, happy birthday, ... However, do be aware that your father recently died. Therefore, don't have a too happy a birthday.
Exactly. Have a happy birthday, but do not forget about your dead dad.
It was genuinely like that throughout the day. I remember saying to Amanda, like, we were, my fiance, we were sat in a little eatery thing, and I got a message on my phone, and I looked at it, and it was, if not that, similar one to that. And I literally said to her, I had forgotten for a bit that my dad was dead. And now I've been reminded of it.
Oh, man. Happy birthday. I hope you can have as good a day as possible, given the circumstances. Brackets. The circumstances are your recent tragedy. Close brackets. Open second pair of brackets. Your dad died. Close brackets. While we're doing, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to when
your friend's dad's died.
Yeah. Do address it. I think it is good, if it's someone that you're close to say up front when you see them, how are you doing, bearing in mind the awful circumstances.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to say that. The other thing that I've, because I wrote a few notes, and the other thing I've written down is practical help is good. So, because there's little things, there's so much that happens after a loved one dies in terms of just admin, and you still have to get on with the day-to-day stuff, and it all feels so surreal. I remember having a bath after my dad died, being like, I can't believe I'm having a bath. My dad's just died, I'm having a bath. All these little things that you still have to, like, you still have to cook. Although, there is a fantastic sort of a category of middle class mums whose immediate reaction to hearing of the death of somebody is to start cooking. Because we got, I mean, I was back home for a couple of days after he died, and the amount of casseroles that came delivered to our door It was as if, and immediately as well, quickly, it's either they had a like frozen casseroles prepared in case, like labelled in case of bereavement, or...
Oh, God, death casseroles.
Or somebody said, have you heard that John Spalding's died? And they went, oh, that's so sad, I better make a quiche. Just already chopping an onion, like, oh, how? What did he die of? Can you put the oven on? 180, fun. Because we got so much food.
You know what?
And that made a huge difference.
I had no, I didn't have food delivered, but I'm fairly confident that when I told my boss, she said, I'd cook you a home-cooked meal if you were here, or words to that effect.
Just sort of helpful.
It's a similar vibe. We're just like, you know, there's a home-cooked meal for you here if you need it, kind of thing.
Yeah. But that, and that is the kind of help that is useful. If you, if your friend is going through something, there's nothing you can say that will make it better. Which doesn't mean don't say anything, but it means don't expect to be able to solve the problem for them. Don't pressure yourself to be able to find the right words. But if you can make a cock of Anne, make a cock of Anne. It will help. And because you forget to eat, you forget to feed yourself, you forget to have a bath. I'm not saying bathe your mates, but... Practical help is good. No. It depends who's offering. If Dan sells houses, concern. Had messaged me saying, trying to come round and hose you down. Sorry, Dan,
the
can you get back to selling houses?
I have. All of this, the big concern I have by a country mile is that you, with a famously uncontrollable bowel situation... opted for a warm bath. The risk you took in that moment.
Yeah, me, struck with grief, full of casserole, sitting in a warm bath, my unstable sphincter quivering. What a sight.
We all know that you get a free poo. So thank you very much for listening, and a quick note, The Hitchhiker's Guide for When Your Dad's Died from this episode. The first thing is to stay calm for as long as you can. The second thing is, if you stick your finger in a pint of water, you may absorb it. We all know about the free poop. Do text them if it helps. And finally, Rich, I love you, man.
I love you too. What a nice end.
So that was the episode. Quick bit of housekeeping. I listened back to it when you guys were listening back to it. And there is one blunder. Right at the end there, I make a reference to Dan sells houses. But I realised we'd cut out the previous reference to Dan sells houses. Yeah. Dan sells houses is the current Facebook name of the guy who left the comment on my dead dad status where he said, gutting news. So that's who we were referring to when we talk about Dan. He's fully sells, changed his name from
Dan sells houses.
Dan sells houses.
Dan sells houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan sells houses. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's just he. That's what he does now. He's an estate agent, which gives you an idea of the guy.
Mm. So we're now a couple of years removed from that podcast. Do you feel anything different to any of the things that we said during that episode?
Well, no, not really, because I was already quite a long way removed from the aftermath at the time.
Sure.
When we recorded it, it was probably 7 years on.
Mm.
And it's now 9 years on.
Ooh, coming up to the anniversary.
Eight and a half. No, it's quite a long way from the anniversary. That is famously, as we discussed in that episode, 23rd of December.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what your dad's...
Death day?
Death day was.
I don't know either. Not off the top of my head. It was
November,
something like the 14th of November or 17th of November, something along those lines. I didn't really stick in my head. It was, because it was a few days before my birthday, as I sort of made repeatedly clear in that podcast.
And your birthday is, remind me?
The 22nd of November.
Yeah.
Which is
so if it,
9 months after my dad's birthday, 22nd of February.
The main thing that I remember about the the day that, well, not the day that your dad died, but of that date.
Yes.
Is you saying it was very close to your birthday, and then and thinking in the back of my head, not that close, actually. I don't think, not close enough that you can really make a thing of it.
Yeah, but on my birthday, everyone messaged me saying, sorry, happy birthday, sorry your dad's dead. So close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's not
close enough that it was still.
I don't think
lingering,
you're getting those messages on your birthday. Happy birthday, sorry your dad's dead.
Well, no, not anymore, but that would be very,
I have sent you,
very late
I
to
do
the party,
send you those on your birthday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every birthday, Tom and I send a message saying, happy birthday, but don't forget your dad's dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think this year I didn't actually say happy birthday. I think I just sent you a string of messages saying, don't you dare forget.
Yeah, the happy birthday bit is implied.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The fact that I'm marking the day. Yeah, you don't need anything else. If you enjoyed this podcast, please, I'm begging you, go on Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. Comment something in that 5-star review that you would like us to comment on. Leave a story about your dad in that 5-star review and we'll talk about it. But that's not the only way you can get in touch with us.
Yes, we've also got an email address. Our email address is ourdadsdiedpod@gmail.com. And you can get in touch with us there about anything that you'd like to. I mean, ideally keep it on message, something dead dad related or podcast related.
Yeah, but it could be, you know, grief-related in general. You know, if a family member died or a close friend died, you know, something which impacts you that closely. Do talk to us about it. Tell us about it. You know, particularly if it's a story which, you know, as we've tried to get across in this episode, is one of those weird things that you don't expect is going to happen. I think that's really quite interesting.
Yeah, we're very, very keen to hear from anyone who's listened to this and any experiences you might have had. Just to give you an idea of the topics we're going to be covering, these are the titles of the next 11 episodes. So if there's anything that relates to any of these that you'd like to send in, any stories, we'd love to hear from you. So the next one is called The Funeral, the big one. Then Father's Day, that's coming out around Father's Day, which famously tough time if you've not got a father. Then we've got two parts of an episode we recorded with a phenomenal mortician who we're calling Death Daddy. So if you've got any questions about the human body, it's a bit too late to put them to the Death Daddy, but he will be coming back onto the podcast. And we've got dreams. We'd love to hear some of your dead dad dreams. If they're sad, if they're funny, if they're just weird, let us know. Then we've got The Wake, Last Words, Care Homes, which was one that when we recorded it was very, very on topic. It was during COVID. It was in the news. We're further removed from that now, but if there's anything you want to say about care homes, any experiences you've had with them, particularly related to loved ones, let us know. Controversially, the next episode is called Upsides and Downsides. If you've got any upsides or downsides of losing a parent, obviously largely downsides, but we always look for the silver lining.
Predominantly downside, but mm-hmm. You know, as with anything that happens in life, there are some silver linings.
Precisely. Then we've got Grief and the Brain, which is where we spoke to a very, very interesting neuroscientist about what grief does to your brain. So if there's anything there that lights you up, particularly dreams, we'd love to hear from you about, because dreams are mad and I am endlessly fascinated with dreams.
Yeah, send us your dreams 100%. We would love to hear about them. Rich, in particular, would love to hear about them.
Yeah.
I don't really care that much, but, you know, but do send them in.
Yes, or just send them to me. I don't care. Send them to me personally, and I will get back to you.
But Rich will read. Rich will mainly read the emails. To be fair, so
yeah. Also follow us on Twitter if you'd like to.
Yeah, please follow us on Twitter @OurDadsDied.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next Friday.